Grace and peace to you all, and welcome to the Calvary Road with Pastor Sam Allen.
When everything is going great, and there are seasons like that, man, just things are grooving, they're fine, no problems. Well, it's easy to say God's good, but when everything becomes difficult and there are seasons like that, well, that's when our faith is being tested. And I'd suggest to you that that's our opportunity to be an example to all who are looking on.
In today's broadcast, we see the Apostle Paul further exhorting young Timothy in the way, as a pastor, that he should go. Exhorted to take the ministry very seriously and to give it his all, he teaches that its value is greater than any worldly thing, for it helps bring about salvation. So, let's listen in.
Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're picking up at verse 12, looking at just verses 12 through 16 as we conclude the chapter. The title of our study, Be an Example. Paul writes to young pastor Timothy, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Now, before we even look at the passage and deal with the text, know this. Every one of us are, in fact, an example to many others. The question isn't, should we or could we be an example? You are, I am, we are examples to all who look on. The question is, are we a good example or a bad example? So don't misunderstand when he's telling Timothy, be an example. He's not suggesting Timothy doesn't get people or looking. He's really saying, keep on becoming the best example you can be. Now he says, let no one despise your youth. And that's one reason we invited you high schoolers and junior hires in. We want you to know you're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church today. God has already called you. He's already gifted you. He already has a work for you to do. And I don't want anyone who's not in junior high or high to tune out and say, well, it's for the young. No, listen, we're all examples. And we're going to see that everything he tells Pastor Timothy he must be, we must be as well. Every one of us, examples to all around. Now, this word despise is a strong word. And something was going on with Timothy. I don't know if it was as much a part of their culture as it is ours. But young people, in many cases today, are disrespected, aren't really given much of a voice or an option to speak or serve. Well, listen, Timothy, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, says, if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord, as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. This suggests if Paul has to tell the Corinthians, don't despise him, and if they have to tell the Ephesians, well, in this case, Timothy, don't let the Ephesians, because that's where Timothy was pastoring, despise you. Well, Timothy was young, and he was also timid. He just wasn't, well, pastor material as some of them might have considered it. But see, God called Timothy to be a pastor. And he called him to be an example in his younger days and throughout his entire life. Now, he'll later tell Titus the same thing. Man, you need to make sure no one despises you, looks down on you, disqualifies you. That's really what he's saying. It's a command for him to stop letting himself be disrespected or pushed down or pushed around. Now, if you want to be respected, you need to be an example. You're not going to get it just because you show up somewhere. You show up at work, you want respect at work. Showing up is, well, that's important. Better than not showing up. But you need to show up and be a good example. And if you do, and if you are, well, this word example means one worthy of imitation, a pattern that can be copied. Somebody could look at your life, examine your life, and say, I want to be like him. I want to be like her. Maybe not even realizing the reason they see something good is, well, Jesus is at work in you. Jesus is transforming you. An example worth following. Now, when I was young, not as young as some of you, because I didn't become a Christian until I was 27. But, well, here's the thing. I always wanted respect. I didn't really understand how to go about gathering it. And when I became a young Christian, a baby Christian at age 27, I was fond of saying, well, don't look at me, look at Jesus. Some of you are doing that even today. You're saying, oh, you know, don't look at me. No, here's the problem with that. They need someone to look up to follow after, that they can see, that they can observe, so they can see, well, yeah, it really works. God really does change and transform people. Yeah, we're all to look to Jesus. He's the only perfect example. But we need to be as Paul was, who said, follow me as I follow Christ. Not excusing ourselves and saying, oh, I'm not really somebody to follow after. Why not? What's keeping us from being the example we should be? Now, couple of quick things, because he's going to deal with, well, the things we say and the things we do and the motivation and manner in which we do them. But there's something else. It's not here, and I want to draw it to your attention. It has to deal with appearance. And I know you guys get this if you're in our youth group. And if you're visiting, you probably are like, oh, great. No, listen, you girls, you want to be respected? I got to suggest something. If you go to school in a tube top and a mini skirt, you will get lots of attention, but no respect. No, why? Because, well, maybe you haven't heard. Men have a problem with objectifying women. What that means is they can look at you, and this isn't just true for the young, this is true for all. They can look at you and not even see you as a person. Just see you as, well, an object. And if you dress in such a way that, well, you could say, well, man, that's their problem. No, you're helping to facilitate their sin. And so if you want respect, it does matter how you dress. It does matter how you appear. So you don't want to be showing up in slinky clothing and thinking somehow people are going to show you respect. Plumber's pants. If you don't know what those are, ask your dad after the service. I don't get this style at all. I am grateful for one thing. At my age, I know everything's only for a season. It comes and goes, and I can't wait for this one to go. I know some of you are thinking, who are you to talk about fashion? I mean, what, you're a step away from Mr. Rogers. Yeah, that might be. I realize I may not be the coolest guy on the planet, but I am someone that is worthy of respect, and I'm trying not to do anything to diminish my opportunities to bring people to Christ, to be a witness for Him. Guys, here's the deal. Skaters. I'm not against skating, by the way. I think the whole skating thing is cool. I can't do it. I'm just too uncoordinated. I'd be very unsafe at my age anyway. But if you're into skating, I got to clue you in. Sears catalogs. See if you can get a hold of a Midwest edition. Here's why. Sears catalog sells the same clothes that skaters wear out here on the West Coast. $10 for that whole getup. Out here, it's like $55 in the skater magazine, you see. And something's going on. And, well, if you're going for a job, by the way, if you want summer employment, well, a little late for that now. We're all the way to the fall. But just for next year, in case. Here's the deal. You show up with big baggy clothes and they think, oh, you couldn't find your clothes. You're wearing your grandpa's, you know. You're not going to get the job. You're not going to get the respect. And I'm not saying there aren't fashions and that you can't at all try to be a part of what's going on. But think about how you appear to, well, normal people, to people that aren't in your little clique. Punkers? I know there aren't a lot of punkers in our church. Some of the guys that were scaring me, they're starting to wear like skin tight pants. And I'm like, man, it was bad on the girls. It's really freaky on the guys. So wake up if that's you. Now listen, I know this is kind of picking on you young guys and gals. I don't mean to do that. I hope you understand the spirit in which I'm delivering these things is I care about you and I want you to be a good example to those who check you out, and they do. Once they know you're a Christian, they're watching. So listen, he says, don't let them despise your youth, but be an example, someone worth imitating, following after, copying. Be an example to the believers. Here's the deal. You can't be failing at home and succeed at church. You can't be failing at church and succeed out in the world, because it's where people know you best. Well, that's really who you are. And you can put on a front and you can be a poser and you can pretend to be something you're not when strangers are around. But you want the people who know you best to see, hey, he or she is the real thing. We're to be an example to the believers. Why? That's who we're around mostly. And if we're a good example to one another, well, we'll be a good example to the unbelievers as well. So he starts with the believers. Now he says, in word, in conduct, in love, the things we say, the way we say them, the communication we have, our attitudes as we communicate. Well, it says a lot about us as Christians, and it says a lot about our potential as Christians. You know, James makes the point that our tongues can and are actually meant to direct. He uses the example of a horse. He says you can put a bridle in its mouth and you can turn that horse any way you want. Now that's true for most people. I got to be honest with you. I've had horses and started down in Mexico. Pam and I would go down there when we were in Southern Cal and we'd ride horses, and I'd always get a defective one. What I mean by that is mine didn't want to go, and I'd be like baby talking it because, you know, hey, I'm no cowboy, you know, and it's like, come on, dude, let's go, you know, let's move on. And I'm saying, man, this horse is defective. So she said, well, let's switch. Lo and behold, we switch, and now there's something wrong with the horse she was riding because I just don't have it. We actually owned horses when we lived north of town. I had an experience where I took her horse. It was half quarter horse and half thoroughbred. Thoroughbred means it's fast. Quarter horse means it likes barrels. Well, we didn't have any barrels, but we did have an orchard. And I got on this thing and I thought, well, hey, I've read the Bible. All you need to do is use that bit. This horse like looked at me, must have known. Just started going through the trees in and out like this. It was all I could do to just hang on and not, you know, freak out. But for the most part, he says, a little bridle, it can handle a big horse. A little rudder can move a great ship. And he says, your tongue's like that. The way you talk, the things you say will direct people to either want to know more about the Lord you serve or to cause them to say, well, why would I want to go to church with you? Listen to the way you talk. Listen to the things you say. Listen to the attitude that's coming out. Again, I don't believe this is a specific problem to the young. No, it's just as bad at work for those who are older or wherever we are. People listen to us. They take note of the way we speak and the things we say. Our tongues can and should direct. They can be destructive. He says, you know, it only takes a little spark to burn a whole forest. And he says, the tongue's kind of like that. It can get something going that is so destructive that, man, a lot of people get hurt. A lot of people get wounded. A lot of people get wiped out. So we want to make sure we control our tongue and that what comes out of our mouth encourages, builds up other people. Then he says, not only in word, but in conduct. Yeah, the things we say and then the things we do. And they need to line up. Because if we're saying one thing and doing another, people will call us hypocrites. They'll say we're actors. We're not real Christians. We're not for real Christians. So our conduct, well, after how we appear and how we speak, what we do is what people most notice next. And they do expect our life to line up with our words. Here's why. We say that God is love. They expect us to be loving. They expect that love to manifest itself in kindness and long-suffering and patience. And why? Because that's what love is and does. We say God's merciful, so they are going to look and say, are you merciful? We say God's gracious. He gives even to those who don't deserve and don't appreciate. And they're going to look and say, well, I hear what your God's like, but shouldn't you be like that? Of course we should. He's saying to Timothy, and he's saying to all of us, be an example, the best example you can be. Now, people watch our expressions. They watch our body language. They listen to the tone of our voice. So what we're saying and then the way we're standing, the way we communicate. Hey, any of you ever dealt with a bully? It's not been a problem for me for a long time. I mean, hardly any bullies work here at Calvary Chico. And that's because I hire them, you see. And so I'm not going to hire anybody who's going to bully me around. But when I was in school, and I went to school in Chicago High School, there were a lot of bullies. And I tried to be intimidating, but it didn't work. I was like 4'10". I grew a whole foot from my freshman year, 5'10". That's still short. I mean, there's kids here, you know, 15 years old, 16, 17 years old, who are like a foot taller than me. But anyway, the bottom line is, I tried to look intimidating, but it didn't work. How do I know? Because nobody was intimidated. And there's, you actually have to have some stuff behind whatever you're into or whatever you're doing. Here's my point, though. If you're dealing with a bully and you're like, this is sort of like your body language, and you're like, better back off, man. I can take you down at any time. I've studied karate. You know, you better watch it, dude. I don't think anybody's going to back off from that. Why? Your body language and the way you talk is going to say, this guy's a wimp. I don't have to worry about him. No, it's not just that, though. It moves over into the thing that's oh so essential. What if I were to get up here and say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, have everlasting life. Give your life, it'll be wonderful. He's got a beautiful plan. Who wants to receive the Lord? Of course you laugh. Why? Because there's what I'm saying is so important and so essential. There should be some life or passion behind it. And if what we say and what we do isn't real, see, I don't have to work it up or muster it up when I say, listen, the most important thing you'll ever hear is that though you're a guilty sinner, Christ died for your sins. He was buried and he rose again. There's forgiveness in him and life. I don't have to practice that in the mirror or wonder how it's coming across. I care about that message because it's the message that transformed my life. It's the message that will change your life and is, in fact, changing most of your lives. Well, here's the deal. People expect us to be an example because we're calling ourselves Christians, followers of Jesus. And we're to be an example to the believers first at home and at church and then at school, at work, out in the world, in our words, our conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Yeah, love, by the way, so essential. If my motivation for whatever I do isn't love for God and love for people, you know, they're going to sense that. If I'm out to take advantage or manipulate or trying to get something from them instead of just give something to them, people see it. They see right through it. It's true for each and every one of us. The reason I minister is I love God and I so appreciate Him. And I love you guys because, well, He loves you. Because we're family. And I love the lost and, well, even my enemies because he says to do it. Now, here's where it really gets kind of difficult. If I have trouble loving those closest to me, how am I ever going to love my enemies? How am I going to pray for those who despitefully use me and persecute me? It'll never happen. That's why it's got to start at home. And then it needs to work in the fellowship. And then we'll have something to take to the world. So we've got to be an example in word and conduct and love, then in spirit, faith, and purity. Spirit, the word, well, it's not even in all of your Bibles. Some of you who have NIV or New American Standard, different set of manuscripts, don't let it trouble you. No real big deal. But in the manuscripts from which we get King James and New King James, this word spirit does appear. It can mean fervor or passion, you know. The sense that, hey, they're really into this and they really believe in it. But that's not how it's used here. It's talking about the Spirit that motivates us, directs us, inspires us, and empowers us. If you were with us last time, you remember James and John. They come and they want to wipe out the Samaritans for Jesus. And he says, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. He's saying you don't really get who you're listening to here. This isn't me. I didn't come to destroy, but to save. And so the Spirit he's talking about is being yielded to the Spirit of God and the Spirit that wants to inspire and empower and use us to His glory. It'll keep us from falling into the trap of heeding the demonic spirits he warned us about last time. Those who come with doctrines of demons, deceiving some, we saw, many tragically. Well, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Now, all of us have faith. All of you are trusting in someone or something. And when it comes to spiritual things, you better be trusting in God and in Him alone. It's all about Him. And here's what I've noticed. When everything is going great, and there are seasons like that, man, just things are grooving, they're fine, no problems. Well, it's easy to say God's good, but when everything becomes difficult, and there are seasons like that, well, that's when our faith is being tested, and I'd suggest to you that that's our opportunity to be an example to all who are looking on. Listen, in our personal, experience, my little family, we have gone through some amazing and difficult times. And those closest to me always watch to see, am I going to act out what I've taught? Am I going to live out what I believe? I've had situations where I've been falsely accused, and it's been a while, and I'm grateful for it. But where I was just accused, and it was just so brutal and so just unkind, and those closest to me, because they're in a position to watch, they want to see, am I going to retaliate? Am I going to strike back? Am I going to strike out? Or am I going to just do what God says? Pray for them. Outlove them. Let Jesus deal with them. Listen, every test, every trial, every temptation, it's an opportunity for a testimony. And my testimony will either be, hey, I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you. All things are going to work together for good. Why? He said so. Yeah, but everything's falling apart. It doesn't matter. He said so. Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Man. That's the kind of faith we need to have. Every test will bring about a testimony. The testimony will either be God's faithful and we're going to trust Him, or, man, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know where the Lord is. No, you know where He is. You know what He's like. Testify to that reality in spirit and faith in purity. Purity always means, well, it speaks of our moral attitudes, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our motives, they've got to be pure.
Let no one despise your youth. Now that's an interesting exhortation. If you think about it, you can't really do anything about that. Timothy had control over his age no more than he had control over those who would judge him as too young to be doing what he was doing, prejudging him due to his age. None of us really have any control over other people when they prejudge us, when they judge a book by its cover. Or do we? At first glance, for many, it's human nature to judge. But upon further examination, we see more and more. Not allowing anyone to despise his youth was not a command to control how people perceived Timothy. It was a command for him to act, think, talk, and treat people in a way that would dispel any preconceived notions about him and make them realize that this was a man who was gifted way beyond his years. Same for us, folks. You can't stop people from prejudging, but you can control what they see when they start to peel back the layers, when they look deeper into your life. Take Paul's advice and take heed to yourselves and the doctrine, and let people see Jesus when they look closer.
The Calvary Road is a ministry of Calvary Chapel Chico, and you can visit our website, ccchico.com, or download the CC Chico app to contact us and listen to other studies from Pastor Sam. You can also listen to The Calvary Road as a daily podcast by visiting thecalvaryroad.com. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time, may you find grace and peace as your journey takes you down the Calvary Road. And your grace, it's soon.